Good morning, everybody. Happy December 15th, 2019. Yes, we are in the year 2019. 2019. Where does that 2019 come from? What happened 2019 years ago that we would base our entire calendar system on? What could be so important that we would actually count the years for over 2,000 years after that, and we are still counting today? What is the thing that was so important that happened then? Was some great bill signed by someone? Did some powerful king do something big and conquer other people and force them to have a new calendar system? Must have been a big government decision, right? To change the whole world's calendar system? What was it that we would base our year on today here in Yakima, Washington? And I would tell you that it's December 15th, 2019. I submit to you this morning that what happened 2019 years ago, a king was born, a little baby, and laid in a manger in an obscure place, in an obscure way, by some relatively poor people. And people all over the world, all their calendars are based on that today. Must have been a special baby that was born in that manger. I'd like to talk a little bit about that baby this morning, some things that were true of that baby as that baby laid in a manger. Some things that were true about it. And I'd like to today look at some special things that were written about the baby long before the baby was ever born. And we're going to find that there's actually quite a bit that was written about this baby. And I think by the time we're done today, it'll be no big surprise that our calendar system is based on that. In fact, not only our calendar here on earth, but perhaps the calendar in heaven as well, and all eternity and the entire universe is really going to be in the hands of that little tiny baby that was laying in a manger around 2019 years ago. Let's pray. God in heaven, we thank you we could be here this morning. Thank you for all the blessings you give us through Jesus Christ. Pray that you would speak to us this morning. May your Holy Spirit make your word come alive and just show us how important these things are and the power of these prophecies, Lord, that they really came true in that little baby so long ago. So just help us understand and be amazed at you this morning. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so we're going to be taking a look in the Old Testament. I made a little timeline up here. On the right side, there's a dot, and that would represent when Jesus was born here on earth and laid in a manger. We're going to go back in time, look at some prophecies that were made in the Bible and what they said about that little baby. These are not just prophecies about the life of Jesus. These are prophecies specifically about his birth and the things surrounding the birth of Jesus. And there's going to be quite a few of them. I put a number up there. That would be a year. I don't have an exact year, but I took the time frame that the person wrote that book of the Bible, and I just put a year that was kind of in the middle of that somewhere. If I spent more time, we could probably find an exact year, but I just put the general year. So generally, the idea is we're going to keep going back in time and look at all these prophecies that were said about Jesus. So we're going to start in Jeremiah chapter 23, verses 5 and 6. Jeremiah the prophet wrote, "Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will raise up for David a righteous branch, and he will reign as king and act wisely and do just and righteousness in the land. In his days, Judah will be saved, Israel will dwell securely, and this is his name, by which he will be called the Lord our righteousness." This is a prophecy about a person, and there's a lot of things said about this person that would come in the future at the time. This would have been written around 580 BC, 580 years before the birth of Christ. So God himself was going to raise up for David a righteous branch. We're talking about King David, and there would be a branch, a righteous branch. That would be someone related to David. If you look at his kingly line, like branches on a tree, there would be someone along that line that we're talking about here. He will reign as king and act wisely. So he would have to become a king. He would have to be in the line. So as a baby, he would have to have the right to be king. He would have to become a king, and he would act wisely and do justice and righteousness in the land. So this person would be wise, have justice, have righteousness, and those are high and lofty things. Did all the kings of Israel have those things? Many of them did not. Actually, to find a king that is just those three things right there would probably be hard to find. So that alone is going to be a great thing. This sounds like a great king. And to do justice and righteousness in the land, there has to be a land, right? There has to be a land to do justice in. Now, that would be an interesting prophecy considering that 580 BC, those of you Bible scholars might know 580 BC. Does that sound familiar? Is that right around the time that the Judah fell and there basically was not a nation anymore at the time of this prophecy? And they were going into exile. So the northern tribes, they fell to, I believe it was Syria, in 722, around 580. I believe 586 is when the lower tribes fell. And all of a sudden, you don't have a nation of Israel anymore. They're scattered, and other nations have taken over. So amidst that, to make a prophecy about a king of Israel that's going to come from the line of David, he is going to have a land or people or a nation to rule over, and he's going to be just and righteous and act wisely. This is quite a prophecy, isn't it? It's like saying, I'm making a prophecy about there's going to be a mayor of Yakima that's going to be amazing 10 years from now, and if I said that right after Yakima was gone and there wasn't a Yakima anymore, that would be kind of a wild prophecy, wouldn't it? That's kind of what's going on here. So interesting, Jeremiah, he had a long ministry, and near the end of his ministry is when these things would have happened. So to say this is quite a prophecy. How is God going to fulfill that? And it says more, in his days Judah will be saved, Israel will dwell securely, and this is his name by which he will be called. His name will be called Bill. It doesn't say Bill. Let's just think about prophecies for a moment. How hard would it be to make a prophecy about a person 500 years from now that would be named Bill? And some things would be true about him. He would become a king over a nation that basically just disbanded. And he would be righteous and just and other things too. For that to actually happen, would that be pretty amazing? It would. Just to have the name alone, just the name Bill. I mean, in 500 years, people probably won't use the word Bill anymore, right? It'll be other names. There'll be other things that would have to happen. There are so many things that have to happen to make a prophecy come true. It's really actually difficult to make any prophecy of anything at all. And to be even specific about something is amazing. Think about what can happen over time, just in 100 years. What can happen in 100 years? Think about that. Think about how many things change in 100 years. You might make a prophecy about a Shopko, and the Shopko is going to do this in 20 years. Well, it's not here anymore, is it, anymore? It's gone. Things change. Things change that you would never know about, bigger than Shopko, and other things too. 500 years, over 500 years, what could happen in over 500 years? For you to make a prophecy about anything at all, and for it to even have a chance of coming true, is a miracle in itself. We're kind of used to, if you study the Bible a lot, you know a lot about prophecies. And I've been hearing this my whole life about prophecies. And in the Christmas story, we read about it. In the New Testament, it points out all the prophecies made about Jesus. And I just assume, yeah, you make prophecies and they come true, and God made them, and he's pretty good at it. To make a prophecy about anything is actually amazing. If you look at the odds of what could happen in just 100 years, so many things change. You really can't do it. And if someone happens to do something and it sounds like maybe it came true, then we're just amazed by that. Well, what I'm going to point out here, not only does God go way beyond that, he doesn't say that his name's going to be Bill or even Jesus, which would be correct. He is going to make prophecies here that are just astounding. This person, what's his name going to be? This is his name by which you will be called, the Lord, our righteousness. And right here, over 500 years before Christ came, we have the word Lord. You might notice in your Bible, it's all capital letters. This is the proper name in Hebrew for God himself. This doesn't mean a Lord or a God. This is talking about specifically Jehovah God himself. The Lord our righteousness would be a specific name for God used in the Old Testament. A powerful name, the Lord our righteousness. And right off the bat, and I'm amazed at the many prophecies we're going to look at today, do you know how many of them are clear that Jesus would be God himself? I didn't even realize it till I did this, and I hope to show you that today. So this king, talking about it in Jeremiah, he would act wisely, do justice, act in righteousness. There would be a land to rule over, and he would be a great king, and his name would be called the Lord our righteousness. How does all that come about in a person? That's quite a prophecy that would actually happen. We could talk about whether that's happened yet or not. Has that totally been fulfilled yet? Probably not. There's probably still more to come with that. But the king himself, the person, I do believe has come. And we're going to find that out. So remember those prophecies. All those have to be true. If we're going to say this is true of Jesus, all those things have to be true as well as all the other things too. And there would be over 500 years between that prophecy and when baby Jesus was born that could have messed all of that up right there. Okay, Jeremiah 31:15. Sorry, part of it's cut off up there, so I'm just curious to know what it looks like back there. Better. Okay, thus says the Lord, a voice is heard in Ramah, lamentation and bitter weeping. Rachel is weeping for her children. She refuses to be comforted for her children because they are no more. This is also written by Jeremiah. I'm going to give it the same time frame there, over 500 years before Christ was born. And this isn't so much the birth of Jesus, but this is something that would happen right around the birth of Jesus. And of course, we know from the New Testament that this would be when the many babies are killed because they're trying to find Jesus. Jesus would flee to Egypt with Mary and Joseph. And this is a prophecy that would happen. And I was thinking, well, what's amazing about this prophecy? Again, folks, to make any prophecy at all that would come true, the odds, if you run the numbers, the odds, it would be some astronomical number you couldn't calculate. Making prophecies is actually extremely difficult to do. For something to happen 500 years before it actually happens. So that's amazing in itself. But we're going to find out from many of these other prophecies that the birth of Jesus is a good thing, a great thing. People should be rejoicing. The wonderful counselor, mighty God, Prince of Peace has come. This is a great thing to make a prophecy about how wonderful this is. It's going to affect the whole government will rest on his shoulders. Good, good, good in every big, wonderful way. And in the midst of it, a horrible thing is going to happen too. Do you see how more amazing that makes the prophecy? To say that a great, amazing thing that's going to happen that will affect the world, and I think we're going to get on a worldwide scale by the time we've gone through these prophecies, and then to say in the midst of it, oh, by the way, there's going to be a horrible thing that will happen too at the same time. Do you see that just makes it so much more difficult? The prophecies are so specific about what happens, and we know that this would actually come true, and we can read about it in the New Testament, what happened shortly after the birth of Jesus. So there we have a prophecy. We have a prophecy about a great king already, great things going to happen, and also a prophecy about a horrible thing that would happen, and we're going to find out they would happen close to each other. Isaiah 11, verse 1. Then a shoot will spring from the stem of Jesse, and a branch from his roots will bear fruit. The spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and strength, the spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. another powerful prophecy about Jesus Christ. This says, a shoot will spring from the stem of Jesse. Does that sound kind of familiar? We already talked about a branch of David. Now we have a stem of Jesse. Same idea. We have the kingly line there and someone that's related to this person. So someone that has the right to the throne is going to come along at some point. This branch will come from his roots and bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him. So there's some, this person will have a very close relationship with God himself. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him. The Spirit of wisdom and understanding. The Spirit of counsel and strength. Now that's a lot right there. Remember earlier we talked about righteousness and justice and wisdom. Now we're talking about even more. Counsel and strength and wisdom and understanding and the Spirit of the Lord and the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. How do you get all those things all together in one person? That's a difficult thing. Remember, we're making prophecies hundreds of years before they ever happen, which is very difficult to do. And on top of that, these are not general prophecies. These are not generalizations. These are not self-fulfilling prophecies where you say something might come true and it happens to kind of come true. This is an amazing thing. How do you get all these things talked about in one person? That person has to physically be in the line of David. That's a physical thing. Right there is pretty amazing because you can cut that line off any time, can't you? A natural disaster kills everyone related to David, and there it goes. Or many other things. All sorts of things could happen. So just to keep that line going is an amazing thing. Then to have this person, have all these things be true of that person, I mean, the prophecies are amazing here. They're very detailed, very specific, and wild at the same time. This does not sound like just an ordinary person. You'll notice if you look at the timeline there, can you guys see those numbers up there? Okay, we're around 100 years earlier. Other than that, you might think, hey, it's just the same prophecy. What's the big deal? Wait a minute. What can happen in 100 years? Actually, it is a big deal to go back. Remember, we're going backwards, not forward. To go backwards 100 years, so there's a prophecy here. 100 years later, basically the same prophecy again. That's a very big deal saying, yeah, 100 years just happened, and it's still going to happen. And the more time that goes on, actually makes the prophecy more amazing if it hasn't been fulfilled yet. Okay, moving on. Isaiah 9, 6 through 7. For a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us. The government will rest on his shoulders. His name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. There will be no end to the increase of his government or of peace on the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and righteousness from then on and forevermore. How in the world could that ever happen? Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't read the last thing. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will accomplish this. This is impossible, folks. Impossible. Prophecies alone are impossible to make. For them to actually come true hundreds of years later. You just can't do it. And then to be so specific, and then to add in this. This is just an amazing, amazing thing here. What does it say about this king? So far we haven't read about a child, we read about a king. Remember, we've read about a king a couple times? Well, now this sounds like the same king, but it says a child. A child will be born to us. A son given to us. The first part of that stresses his humanity. He will be born to us. We know what that means. A son will be given to us. That stresses his deity right there. This is God himself giving a gift to us. A son will be given to us. The government will rest on his shoulders. Wow. It says a child. A child and the government will be sitting on the shoulders of this baby. What does that even mean? You know, it's hard to even fathom. What is this talking about? Are we just talking about Israel? Are we talking about the world? The government will rest on his shoulders. His name will be Bill. Remember how hard it would be just to prophesy someone's name? Well, this goes so far beyond that. It's not even comparable. His name will be called Wonderful Counselor. That baby, how can you have a baby that's a Wonderful Counselor? Wonderful Counselor stresses the fact that he will care about his people. He will care about the people around him, and he will be wonderful, and he'll be able to counsel. He'll be caring, and he'll be able to take care of, and all the things that a Wonderful Counselor would do. That baby laying in the manger would fulfill that. Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, does it get any more clear than that? Any more clear than that, that this baby will be God himself? God was laying in a manger 2,000 years ago. That's pretty amazing, isn't it? God was born to an obscure, poor lady in an obscure place, and there wasn't even room in the house for him. They had to stick him in the barn, and God was born there. Amazing. Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father. Think about time now, Eternal Father. All the way back in eternity, this baby who was just born was way back there at eternity. This is a real gift that's given to us. Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. Prince of Peace. Is he going to come and just bring wars? Well, you know, his coming actually will cause many things to happen, won't it? But eventually, he will be able to offer peace to anyone who would accept it. Even you today, he could offer peace to you. He is the Prince of Peace. There will be no end to the increase of his government. Where is the end of his government? Like I said earlier, are we just talking about Israel here? It's funny, I was thinking about this, and then I read that. Oh, there's my answer, isn't it? No end. There's no end. No end to his government. I don't even know exactly what that means, but he's going to be pretty powerful, isn't it? He's going to be a political figure that will have power over everything. And any end that you could think of to that government, you're wrong, because there is no end to his government. No end to the increase of his government or of peace. Again, wow, peace. Look at that. He's going to bring peace, what the world needs. On the throne of David and over his kingdom, so there we have that again. We've already talked about that, the line of David. Over the throne of David and over his kingdom to establish it and to uphold it. Establish, that creates it. Uphold it means it keeps it together. With justice and righteousness, that sounds a lot like the previous prophecies we've already talked about. It's the same person, clearly. From then on, there is a then. At some point, there's a then. And I think that's what we're talking about here. From then on and forevermore. How could that ever happen? I love that phrase at the end. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will accomplish this. And that's what it would take, wouldn't it? Anything less than that, could this ever happen? No. A child who all these things are true of it? I do want to stress here, in a lot of these prophecies, Jesus has come. Has he fulfilled every part of that prophecy? I think there's more to come. And that's kind of exciting to think about. God has fulfilled what he said he would do, and there's still more to come. Is peace everywhere and unending right now? I don't know. I don't know that that's come yet. Maybe he's talking about the kingdom. Maybe he's talking about the future as well. But he does offer peace to anybody. I do know that. Anybody who will call on him. Isaiah 7, therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, a virgin will be with child and bear a son. She will call his name Emmanuel. This is one of those things again. I've been born and raised in the church. I have heard this many times. Virgins have children, right? I've heard the virgin will be with a child. The virgins, I sing songs about it during Christmas time. I even hear the songs sometimes in stores, which is amazing. A virgin had a child. A virgin's going to be with child. Angels announce. Don't angels usually announce to virgins they're going to have children? I remember kind of thinking that growing up. But remember, we've probably heard this many times, and we're used to hearing the verse, a virgin will be with child. Don't forget, the virgins don't have children, folks. You know, I had a guest speaker in my Sunday school class who knows a lot. Maybe I could just ask her just a quick question. By the way, did you guys know she's done over 3,000 births? observed over 13,000, which is just amazing, she shared with us. Any of those births, were any of those virgins? There you have it right there, everybody. Virgins don't give birth to babies, okay? It's impossible. It's not like it's hard to do. It doesn't happen. Impossible doesn't happen. Are we all on the same page there? It doesn't happen. Remember, this is not the angel announcing to someone. This is a prophecy written by a man, Isaiah, written down on something. And what's the year there? I can't read the back. 690, over 600 years before it would happen. If he said it would happen tomorrow, it would be an amazing thing to go back over 600 years and say this is going to happen. Do you guys see how amazing these prophecies are? These are specific, and they're crazy. They're crazy, completely wild. We're not prophesying things that might possibly happen. How would this ever happen? I'll go back to the previous verses. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will accomplish this. That's what it would take. This is going to be no ordinary thing. And history, 600 years of history, would be looking forward to that moment that Jesus was born from a virgin. A virgin will be with child. Oh, another amazing thing there too. What's his name going to be? Bill? Not Bill, right? Bill alone would be hard enough to predict. But his name happens to be Emmanuel, which many of you know, that means God with us. Another prophecy that points out that Jesus, that little baby, would be God himself. God prophesied this long before it happened. It was his plan, wasn't it, that he would come. His plan wasn't to send someone else. His plan was that I'm coming myself. I'm going to be the wonderful counselor, the Prince of Peace. I'm going to be Emmanuel, God with my own people. Micah 5, but as for you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, too little to be among the clans of Judah. From you one will go forth from me to be ruler in Israel. His goings forth are from long ago, from the days of eternity. So we have a prophecy of someone, again, a king that would come, and a specific place given that the person would come from, and that would be Bethlehem. Okay, Bethlehem. And we know the story that eventually Jesus was born there. Is that an amazing prophecy? You know, right up, again, this is the time frame. We're talking 700 years, which is unfathomable to say that there's going to be a specific person born in a town. Are there towns that come and go in 700 years? I mean, who's to say there even would be a Bethlehem? Or that anyone know anything about it, let alone a specific person born there? And think about the story right up till that time, right before she gave birth. Were they living in Bethlehem? They weren't, were they? It was actually a decree by an ungodly ruler that would have them come to Bethlehem and fulfill what God said would happen over 700 years before it would happen. These are prophecies that have come true. I was thinking about in Isaiah here, and this one here in Micah. You know, even a skeptic this morning, even someone that doesn't even believe in these things, if you're listening and you're not even sure that these things are true, I've got to tell you, there are facts here in front of you that you can't ignore. You know, before, maybe long ago, people might have said these prophecies in Isaiah, well, yeah, you guys believe in Jesus, you think he was great, and Isaiah, he wrote these later. He wrote them later on about Jesus, you know. Well, can a person logically say that now? No. We have copies of Isaiah, the Dead Sea Scrolls. Amazing. Old, very old. I didn't look up the dates on that, but they're very old. Okay, written long before Jesus was born. This was written. And they might not, you know, people might not accept who Jesus is, that he's a fulfillment, but they have to acknowledge that much of the world does accept that. That this baby, we base our calendar system on him. There was something special, and all these prophecies written before, and we have documents that show it, they were written long before. You know, there's just some truth there. You have to face that. This is not just spiritual, religious stuff that we believe on blind faith. We actually have documents and things that logically show these prophecies were really made before they happened, and they were fulfilled in the birth of Jesus. And that is an amazing thing, something you really can't ignore. So not only would he be born in Bethlehem, but do you see another prophecy? Is there a hint of him being more than a man and being God himself? Well, his goings forth are from long ago, from the days of eternity. Do any of you have goings forth that are from eternity? No, humans don't. Only God that's true of. So there you go again, another prophecy showing that God himself was the one that would come. 700 years before it happened, it was God's plan all along. Hosea, when Israel was a youth, I loved him, and out of Egypt I called my son. A prophecy speaking of when they would run to Egypt to save his life. Not that he needed them to save his life, but that was the plan. God planned that it would happen. Just an interesting detail there, that they would go to Egypt, and God had it all planned out, and he had it written down 700 years before it actually happened. 2 Samuel 7, your house and your kingdom shall endure before me forever. Your throne shall be established forever in accordance with all these words and all this vision. So Nathan spoke to David. Now, we've already seen prophecies about David and the line of David and the branch of Jesse. This is similar, but this one is very important because we're going back to the very beginning, aren't we? This is Nathan speaking to David. This is when the promise, or at least that time frame when the promise was made to David. And what does he specifically say about him? Your kingdom shall endure before me forever. So this would be God's word. Endure before me forever. Your throne shall be established forever. In accordance with all these words and all this vision, Nathan spoke to David. How long would David's kingdom last? Forever. This is an amazing prophecy, isn't it? I bet there's a lot of times that nations have been powerful and people said, this nation's going to last forever. In fact, king, your line and your children, they're going to last forever. I bet it's been said about a lot of different kings, different nations. I don't know. I'm just guessing probably. How many of them are still going on today? Not many, if any. This is an amazing prophecy to say this, because nations fall and go away and other nations take their place. Things change over time. How can you have a king that will last forever? You know, a special thing would have to happen to make that happen, wouldn't it? You would have to have someone whose origins are from long ago, maybe in eternity, and someone who perhaps will live for eternity. You know, this, again, just prophesying that this would happen, the physical line of David, right there, that's an amazing thing, that would keep going and wouldn't be stopped, especially since Satan probably knew about this too and probably would like to have stopped his line and maybe tried over the years. But we would have to have someone, again, would be part of the kingly line, physically, but also, how can this go on forever? It just seems impossible. Well, Jesus, that little baby, if he was God himself, perhaps he could live forever and that would fulfill that. But you know what? When Jesus died on the cross and he was in the tomb, how was this prophecy looking? It was looking pretty bad, wasn't it? And there's many more that go along with it, saying that his throne would last forever. You know, for 3 days, this prophecy looked like one you might want to just tuck in the back and not talk about anymore, huh? Looked like this might be the end of things. But what happened on the third day? The answer, huh? He rose from the dead. He will never die again. He is the true king, the king of all kings, king of Israel, king of the world, king of the universe. I hope he is king of your life as well, too. And he will never die again. And there you have a fulfillment of a prophecy written 800 years before that little baby was born. Psalm 72, let the kings of Tarshish and of the islands bring presents. The kings of Sheba and Seba offer gifts. And let all kings bow down before him. All nations serve him. He will deliver the needy when he cries for help. The afflicted also, and him who has no helper. I think the ultimate fulfillment of this is still to come in the kingdom. But is it not amazing that that same king that will be the king then, he did come to earth and he was a little baby. And did we not get a little taste of this right after his birth? Were there kings that came and offered him presents and bowed down before him? Yeah, perhaps that was just the beginning of someday many more to come. Numbers 24. We're going back all the way to the writings of Moses, which would have been written around 1400, 1000. Do you see we just skipped a long, long ways here? 1,400 years ago is when it would actually be written down. Remember, that's when he wrote it. He would have been writing about history that would stretch much before that. In Numbers, I see him, but not now. I behold him, but not near. A star shall come forth from Jacob. A scepter shall rise from Israel and shall crush through the forehead of Moab and tear down all the sons of Sheth. We have this star coming forth from Jacob, the scepter from Israel. So this must be someone ruling with the scepter and a star. This is a special person. And this would be talking about Jesus, that little baby himself too. Genesis chapter 12, if you're in your Bible, you're actually going all the way back almost to the beginning of your Bible here, aren't you? Remember, this would be written by Moses around 1,400 years ago, but of course the history in it would go much further than that. Now the Lord said to Abram, I will make you a great nation and I will bless you. I will make your name great and so you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you, I will curse. You know, that prophecy alone, again, it's one I've read so many times, and I just take for granted that God fulfilled it. That actually is an amazing prophecy, isn't it? That God would do that with a person. And if you read the story, you know it isn't amazing how it came about. I want to focus on the last part there. And in you, all the families of the earth will be blessed. Whoa, that's a big statement. All the families of the earth. How do you bless all the families of the earth? Through a person. Well, we have the answer in the manger. How long ago would that be? 1,400 years after it was written. This would have been said perhaps around 1,700 years before Jesus came. God would be predicting that he would bless all people on the earth. How many people in here are people that live in nations on the earth? All of you. Some of you are still awake. Thank you. You are part of this prophecy. You, as you sit here this morning, was God thinking of you when he said this to Abraham? It's hard for me to imagine that, but in a way, yes. We are part of the nation and people on this earth that were blessed. And how would he bless them? It would be through the descendant of Abraham, a human being that would come. He would be a wonderful counselor, the mighty God, the Prince of Peace. The very beginning, Genesis chapter 3, shows that it was God's plan all along. I will put enmity. God's talking to Eve here after they had eaten the fruit they weren't supposed to. He's talking to Satan, I'm sorry, talking to Satan. I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise you on the head, you shall bruise him on the heel. We have a prophecy here. And the seed of the woman, that would be a human being related to the woman, and would do something, somehow bruise him, Satan, on the head. Satan would hurt him, bruise him on the heel, but the seed of the woman would have the victory and would bruise him on the head. And I submit to you, all the way back in Genesis chapter 3, perhaps around 4,000 years before Jesus Christ, that God had this in plan all along. he said at the very beginning, he said, Satan, the seed of this woman, I have a plan. The seed of the woman is going to conquer you. It's going to bruise you on the head. You're going to hurt him, bruise him on the heel. And I think that's probably talking about the cross, when Jesus died on the cross. You're going to do a horrible thing to him, but he's going to have the victory and strike you on the head. When Jesus rose from the dead, I think that perhaps is the moment when he realized, Satan realized, that Jesus just conquered death and sin. And Satan has no power over him. Sin and death has no power over him. And today we are blessed by him, in that if we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, if we believe in him, then we can have power over death too. This king that will live forever, he will live forever in his own kingdom, and it's going to be a wonderful kingdom. And if you believe in him today, I'll make a prophecy right now. You will be with him forever. You might say, Mike, how is that possible? That's just religious stuff. That's just faith. That's just blind stuff. Well, we have a pretty powerful God, and it was his plan all along that Jesus would come. God himself, it was his plan that he would come and live among us. He would live a perfect life. Remember, these are just prophecies about his birth. We could go through many more prophecies about his life and his death and his resurrection. But all those would come true too. He would die on a cross for your sins and mine. He would pay the punishment for us. He is alive today. He is in heaven. He will not die again. He is the king that will live forever, the fulfillment of all those prophecies. And if you believe in him, if you admit that you're a sinner and you don't deserve to be in heaven, but ask him to forgive you, he can forgive your sins. He can be just doing it. Remember, it said he is just. He has to be just and righteous. But because he did die for your sins, he can be just. He doesn't just forget about the sins. He took the punishment for your sins. And you can thank him for that. You can praise him. You can ask him to forgive your sins, and he will. And you're a part of his kingdom. And you will be forever. How could that happen? Well, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will accomplish that. It's exciting to stand here today and say that that little baby in the manger fulfilled all of these promises. 4,000 years of prophecies. Remember, to make one little prophecy about something that might happen is difficult to do. All of these prophecies, very specific, some of them crazy, wild things that never happen, every one of them fulfilled in the Lord Jesus Christ. We're amazed at who he is this morning, and all I've done is talk about before he was born. That's all we've talked about. And yet, it is amazing. And here we are, 2019 years later, after he was born, looking back at it. Let's pray. God in heaven, we thank you for your plan. We thank you that it was your plan all along, that you would come to earth, and eventually that you would die on a cross for our sins. Thank you for that, that you followed through on your plan, and that you have blessed us just like you said you would, Lord. And I thank you that we can look forward to being with you and the King of Kings that we've read about here forever. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.